no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible. That just fits so perfectly. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 12th day of October. We're beginning a brand new week. It's all shiny, sparkly, crisp, white, clean, fresh, smells good, right out in front of us. And it's ours to take with every word, every thought, every action, every deed, by what we do, by what we leave undone, by what we say, how we respond, who we encounter, who we pass by, who we embrace, who we reject. I hope you smell what I'm frying up right there. Let's jump into the Word. Today we're reading Matthew chapter 11. It's a brand new week. We're starting a brand new translation. Today we begin the New Living Translation. Matthew chapter 11. When Jesus had finished giving these instructions to his 12 disciples, he went out to teach and preach in towns throughout the region. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" Jesus told them, "Go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." And he added, "God blesses those who do not fall away because of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. "What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? Was he a weak reed swayed by every breath of wind? Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? No, people with expensive clothes live in palaces. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes, and he is more than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scriptures refer when they say, 'Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are attacking it. For before John came, all the prophets and the law of Moses looked forward to this present time. And if you are willing to accept what I say, he is Elijah, the one the prophets said would come. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. To what can I compare this generation? It is like children playing a game in the public square. They complain to their friends, 'We played wedding songs and you didn't dance. So we played funeral songs and you didn't mourn.' For John didn't spend his time eating and drinking, and you say, 'He's possessed by a demon.' The Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say, 'He's a glutton and a drunkard, and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners.' But wisdom is shown to be right by its results." Then Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had done so many of his miracles because they hadn't repented of their sins and turned to God. "What sorrow awaits you, Chorazin and Bethsaida! For if the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have repented of their sins long ago, clothing themselves in burlap and throwing ashes on their heads to show their remorse. I tell you, Tyre and Sidon will be better off on judgment day than you. And you people of Capernaum, will you be honored in heaven? No, you will go down to the place of the dead. For if the miracles I did for you had been done in wicked Sodom, it would still be here today. I tell you, even Sodom will be better off on judgment day than you." At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Jesus, we thank you for your word today. I thank you that all of us, all, the word all, there are no inclusions in all who are weary and burdened today, you will give us rest. You are gentle and humble in your heart. You are not haughty. You are not rude. You are not arrogant. You are gentle and humble in your heart. You came to serve, not to be served, but to serve. And we can come and bring our heaviness, and we can find rest within you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for just allowing us to come and sit at your feet in your presence, for you will renew our strength. But we have to come. We have to be willing to come and be honest and tell you that we need you. May we surrender our pride so that we can come and be restored. We give you this week. Do with it as you will. Say to us, speak to us, change us from the inside out, I pray. And I pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Welcome back. We are coming to you from Istanbul, Turkey again. It's kind of like Israel. Like,
I've been practicing that all day.
Yeah?
Yeah, because we say the emphasis on Istanbul.
Yeah?
They say Istanbul.
Ah, okay.
Sorry.
No, no problem. I'm pretty... I'm emotionally and physically overwhelmed at this point. I think the jet lag is going away. It sort of has this kind of Israel feel where just after a couple of days in Israel, you feel like it's been a couple of weeks.
Congratulations. I'm really happy for you.
Yeah. It's like literally we've only been here for two full days.
You can stop now.
The day before yesterday, we got here. And so we have covered some ground when kind of completed what we're, you know, just the acclimation period and seeing Istanbul.
Yeah, there
Istanbul.
You go. Istanbul.
And so how are you holding up?
I'm delirious.
It rained most of the day today. Yesterday was like blue sky and beautiful, and then it rained most of the day today and got really cold.
But don't you worry. I have a bath running for you right now.
It's been so cold and wet today, but we did some cool things.
Yeah, we did.
So we started off going to a place called the Kora Church, where it's some of the most intricate mosaics.
Mm-hmm.
From the Byzantine era ever, like in the whole world. And that was really interesting. First of all, just the way that they did their, the way that they told the stories.
Yes.
Before there was, you know, all this internet and AI and all the stuff that we're so used to.
Even the little felt pads from Sunday school, the felt boards.
Yeah.
With the cutouts of the the whale and...
Yeah, the dolphin. There was a depiction of Jonah today, and our guy was like, which prophet was it that was swallowed by the dolphin? And we thought that was pretty cute.
I was reminded today how important it is to know the Bible.
Yeah. So these mosaics really are, they're like 700 years old and really beautiful. But I guess what struck me in that place, first of all, it's a Byzantine church. It was turned into a mosque. So mm-hmm. We're in a mosque again. But they've preserved all of this as the artwork of antiquity. And so when I'm looking at this and I'm like, wow, this is how the stories were told. Mm-hmm. People couldn't read.
Right.
There wasn't a printing press yet.
Yeah.
And so to attend or go and visit a church like this and just look up to the heavens and see all of this story work on the ceilings, beautifully done. That's how the stories spread. That's how the stories were remembered. That's how the mm-hmm. stories were told. And it's really interesting here where we are and just understanding some of the Byzantine Empire and the different ways that the traditions were told. For example, so much of what was on that ceiling comes from the apocryphal book, The Infancy Gospels of James.
Yeah.
So that depicts the entire birth narrative of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who her parents were, how they were given divine revelation about who she would be, how she was raised in the temple, like how she came to know Joseph. All of these kinds of questions that people would have had back then. There's so many writings that existed to explain so many things before there was like a canonized New Testament.
Mm.
And so these stories that are depicted in some of the ceiling there, you can still read that, like they're still available.
Yeah.
They're just not included in the New Testament, but they were like scripture for them.
Yeah.
Enough to be like memorialized forever.
Yeah.
On these ceilings.
Yeah. And the thing that's so fascinating as I'm listening to the stories that we're being told is it's no secret that we live in a predominantly Judeo-Christian nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we are currently not.
Right. We're not in that atmosphere at all.
Right. And so the stories that they tell and how they tell them and how they interpret them, you really see where the emphasis is highlighted
mm-hmm.
to see it from their viewpoint or to understand their viewpoint. And so it's not a criticism. It's it's an observation
yeah.
of how interesting it is that we can tell a story and really formulate it to however we want the listener to hear it or believe it.
Yeah.
And
a lot of that has to do with how it was given to us in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And how things have shifted deeper and wider and how they're different around yeah. the world and just expanding. I mean, we just kind of live in this American bubble sometimes.
For sure.
And, just somehow think that everybody has only ever thought one way and it's just not the case. And so it's very expanding
yeah.
to experience these things. And so that was how we started our day.
Yeah, well, actually how we started previous to that was having a Turkish coffee in just the lovely little gardens
oh, yeah.
next to the church to just kind of get our bearings.
Yeah, just kind of walk through, yeah.
Oh, it was so
lovely.
That
was lovely.
I just love a garden.
Yep, and some pomegranate orange juice.
Ugh.
Like life. Liquid life.
Liquid life in a plastic cup.
Yeah. So from there, we went to the Grand Bazaar. And this is a mall of antiquity.
Over 4,000 stores.
Yeah, so, yeah, yes. So, this is the, first of all, this began in the 1400s. And second of all, it is the largest covered shopping marketplace in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And third, as you said, there are 4,000 stores there. So we saw like maybe 200. I don't know. Just walking a couple of blocks in there.
At one point, we were just a few minutes in and we're following our guide, and she kind of takes an unexpected turn down the side alley. And there were no people, and it was like, it's so quiet.
Yeah.
It's so peaceful.
Yeah, that was definitely, Istanbul has been sensory overload. A lot of people, a lot of commotion, a lot of noise.
And it reminds me when we are in Israel, and we're coming from the Sea of Galilee, which is just so beautiful.
Yeah.
So still, peaceful,
yeah,
serene, quiet. And bam, you're in Jerusalem.
Yeah. And that's culture shock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like going from Little House on the Prairie to New York City.
With jet lag.
Which makes it extra special.
Yeah. And extra intense. So we got to experience that. And that is something to experience. And, then I think we had lunch before that.
We had a wonderful, oh my gosh, lunch was so good.
Very traditional kebabs.
Yes.
And as you have mentioned most every day, hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very kind.
It was very kind. I think that was the owner that took care of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all business.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, I said, this is the best meal we've had in Istanbul. And his face changed. Mm-hmm. And he just smiled. And I was like, there's a smile.
Yeah.
They take pride in their work. And that was just really...
That was delicious.
It was delicious.
So
fresh.
Yeah.
Fresh tomatoes and cucumbers and parsley and squeeze of lemon and some olive oil. And... It was so good.
It was so good. And then, and mind you, it's raining all this time and it's cold. So we're kind of navigating in that kind of atmosphere. And so that's just draining in and of itself. And then we go to, what was it called? Topopki Palace.
Sure.
And this is the palace where the government of the Ottoman Empire ruled. And this is a 700-year empire that existed until, I guess, the end of World War I. And modern-day Turkey declared its independence and won its independence and has been that way ever since, but... the kind of dictator or emperor, as it were, for the Ottoman Empire was called a sultan.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the sultans lived and governed and, you know, their traditions and everything. And so it's now a very, very massive, very sprawling museum complex. And very, very interesting things there.
Yes.
There was a diamond there that's like as big as your nose.
No, it was bigger. I think it is the largest diamond I have ever laid eyes on.
For sure.
And I was like, ooh, this would make some famous American people jealous.
Man. But just the opulence of royalty, the things the sultans wore, like, you know, like looking at their regal royal wear and going, wow, this is what the Sultan wore in 14, you know, 12. Mm-hmm. And they've got it all because these were, you know, these were, this is royalty. And so that's preserved. And just the different swords and weaponry and...
with jewels, encrusted with jewels.
Oh, the pageantry.
Yeah.
Just very beautiful, very, very cool to behold. And I guess the biblical connection there were three artifacts that are like, wait, what? How? And, you know, how is this here? And how this tradition comes down through Islam, there was the staff of Moses.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, so like probably very little archaeological evidence for a lot of relics. Even in Christianity, this was all going down in the early years where different relics were being passed around and were considered holy and would bring people into churches to, you know, to see and view them. And so, you know, Moses is an important figure, obviously, in our faith and in Judaism, but also in Islam. And so here's this staff. And it's like, wow, wasn't so long ago. We're reading the story of Moses in the wilderness and, you know, that staff having an important role in a lot of things, like striking the rock and water flowing out and being held up and oceans parting. And so I'm looking at this artifact going, why? I had no clue. But this has been held throughout the Empire of the Ottomans as a holy relic. And I was just like, I had no idea.
I think that's kind of what I thought when I saw a holy relic.
Yeah. I just hadn't seen too many holy relics. So then there was another relic, and that was the sword of King David.
Yeah.
Again, like, wait. I never even knew that there was purported to be a sword of David that was still in existence, but David is also an important king and prophet in Islam, and so...
So naturally, you looked it up to verify its authenticity.
Yeah, I mean, relics don't have a whole lot of pedigree, a lot of, like, the chain of command and how these things were passed down, and a lot of this is taken on faith, and that is not just... I mean, that is just, that is across the board in kind of any ancient faith-based relic.
And it's probably safe to say that it's one of the swords of King David, right? Not like...
I doubt it. I don't know. I don't want to say. I'm not a scientist and looked kind of medieval to me.
Yeah.
Didn't look like it was like 3,500 or 3,000 years old.
Yeah.
But who am I?
Well, I mean,
it's just it's a very important relic, and it's taken on faith, and people will go there, and mostly Muslims.
I'm being generous with giving it even maybe one of David's swords.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I don't know either.
But it was kind of cool to just brush up against that. Brush up against the story of Moses and the story of King David.
And then the third.
From a completely different perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Coming from a completely different kind of religious tradition and persuasion and stories and understanding, like, these are the same people who did the same things, but they're viewed very differently and they're still considered very, very important.
Right.
Enough to, like, have these relics. And then the third one was the New Testament one of a person who is in the New Testament who is also an important figure in Islam. That is John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And so as the story goes, during the Roman Empire, once Emperor Constantine had converted or begun to accept Christianity, and this is in the early 300s, his mom, Helena, who is considered a saint, collected a lot of artifacts, like actually came into the Holy Land and spent years collecting artifacts and bringing them throughout the Roman Empire. And she was a devout believer in Jesus. And one of these artifacts was the bones, or some of the bones, of John the Baptist that ended up in, well, throughout the empire, but ended up in modern day Turkey and found their way into like the Ottoman Empire collection of things. And so here is this, like this golden hand, arm, with arm bones inside, like where you could kind of look in and see arm bones. And this is a tradition going back to like the early 300s. So
that is crazy.
That's a deep enough and long enough tradition as many of the traditional places related to Jesus, or as our guide would say, the Jesus Christ.
The Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So it was just, again, like, really? I had no idea that this was something that we were going to encounter today. I wasn't, it just kind of snuck up.
Yeah.
How did you, what did you think about the, amidst all of that are like a lot of artifacts from the Prophet Muhammad, and just, you know, it's a relic place.
An ancient,
considered holy, and people are in there looking at all this stuff. How did it hit you?
I don't know how to respond to that. I'm cautiously hopeful. I don't know. I guess I just have a fair bit of like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
And I suppose that's fair with a lot of different relics. I don't feel like seeing any of those things rocked my faith or changed my faith or even emboldened or grew my faith. It was just like, wow. Especially those John the Baptist bones, they go back along, like, this is a very, very old tradition, mm-hmm. going back into the Roman Empire. And just outside, actually, of that entire complex is another church, the Church of St. Irene, which was built in 308, commissioned and under the authority of Emperor Constantine, the Roman emperor that, you know, is responsible for allowing Christianity to thrive and become the religion of the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
So the very people that, you know, killed Jesus became the very people that protected all these relics and built all these churches. And
I think that was maybe my thoughts about John the Baptist of, you know, after the brutality of his death.
Mm-hmm.
And how he died, that a young beautiful girl who made her father proud by dancing wanted to give her something on her birthday,
mm-hmm.
and her mom kind of does the old switcheroo, you know, manipulative, controlling mother of, get me what I want.
Yeah.
And she wanted the head of John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And, you know, so maybe that's trauma.
Yeah.
If you've witnessed that beheading or heard about it or knew him and he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe there's like some source. Perhaps there was some sort of like dignity. Like, let's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think of how this golden hand could have ended up in this box with lights and like give him his dignity back. Yeah,
from the ancient Roman Empire. And actually, as you're saying that, I'm like, wow, we've heard several other stories of women who danced and got a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Among the sultans and, you know, among some of these stories.
Yeah.
That we've heard over the last couple of days of immersing ourselves into this culture.
I think there's a reason why the Bible is very clear about the responsibility that women have with their beauty and mm-hmm. their mm-hmm. ability to seduce and mm-hmm. be seductive. And we heard a lot about it today. So, I don't know how to really give you any feedback on this all today. It was a bit overwhelming.
Yeah, completely.
It was fascinating, but it was also, I think it was really encouraging to see so many different people,
mm-hmm.
different people groups,
mm-hmm.
ethnicities,
mm-hmm.
faiths.
Yeah.
And nobody was arguing.
True.
Nobody's like, yeah, that Muhammad guy.
Mm.
I can't believe you believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're just respectful of, okay, you're here. I'm going to give you the ample time that I want in front of this relic. And, like, you saw their humanity and not their label.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was nice.
I think that's a good observation. And that's what we did today. I think that's what we did today.
Yeah.
The best I can remember, that's what we did today. And so that was the time that was allotted to kind of do a cultural immersion and understand Istanbul and get over jet lag and
his son.
Yeah, and so we're moving forward from here.
I'm excited about tomorrow.
I am too.
Very excited.
I'm excited about everything going forward. I was excited about this. It's just a lot. And I think I'm glad we did it this way because we're immersed and this is a very different culture.
Yes.
I look forward to showing you this stuff in the video that we'll post. All the things that we're talking about. So be sure to follow us on the different social channels that we participate in. It's been fun that you are, and we are grateful for that. And
your precious little baby blue eyes are so red and so tired.
I'm so tired. Well, we should sign off for now.
Yeah, lots more to come.
Lots more to come. Thank you for continuing to pray for us. DailyAudioBible.com is the website, or the app is the app. Get connected, be connected. If you are looking for where we are on social, just look for the community section. All the links are there. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Beyond profoundly, we are humbled beyond words that 20 years later, this is still happening. I'm grateful to be sharing this experience as we really try to immerse ourselves in some of the stories of the New Testament over the next couple weeks. And there is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the give button in the upper right hand corner, or the mailing address is
P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174.
And if you have a prayer request or encouragement, hit the hotline button in the app, which is the little red button up at the top. And depending on where you're calling with your prayer request or encouragement, what should they do?
If you're calling chronological, 800-583-2164. Or if you're calling Daily Audio Bible,
877-942-4253. Or in the app,
hit the red circle button.
Yeah.
Up at the top midsection. When you're finished, hit submit. Take your little pointer finger and turn the little wheel to chronological or DAB or
wherever you're sending.
Wherever the Lord leads you.
Yep. And that is all for today. I am Brian.
I'm Jill.
We love you.
The Lord is leading me to bed.
Yep.
We love you. I love you.
I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, Dassey fam. This is Lady of Victory on Thursday, October 9th. This call is to celebrate with Renee from South Africa. I'm so excited for you. I'm passing your board to be admitted into the bar and to practice law over there in your country. That is so exciting. I know the feeling of taking exams and having test anxiety and then coming out and not passing and just all of the things. And it's just so nerve-wracking. And you begin to wonder, like, okay, God, why is everybody else passing? What am I doing something wrong? Am I walking in pride? You know, and you start asking God to forgive you on things that probably not even the case. It's just, you know, God's timing. But I'm so, so excited about you passing, and I'm sure that is such a heavy burden and weight lifted up off of you. And so, God, we thank you and we honor you. We magnify you. We thank you that the greater one lives on the inside of us. And even though, God, sometimes we don't know why the timing happens and why things don't happen the way that we want them to happen, but they happen, God, in perfect timing. And if we just continue to keep our eyes stayed on you, God, you will continue to work things out for us, and it works out for our good. So we just ask, God, that you will now bless her with employment where she can practice. And God, just make a difference over there in South Africa and as far as the law is concerned in whatever her area is. And so we thank you, God, for everybody who is preparing for tests and finals and all of the things, defending dissertations and all of that, God. We ask that you would be with us in Jesus' name.
Aloha and blessings to all at Daily Audio Bible Ohana. My name is Chantel, and I am calling from Honolulu, Hawaii, reaching out to everyone to stand in prayer with our family here. For my brother Jason, he is having a difficult time at this point with his heart. There is still doctors taking a look to see what's going on. But as far as we can see and heard from them, that his heart is very strong and there is no blockage, but there is some electrical things going on. They at first thought it was an AFib, but it's not. So we're going to pray that God does a miracle in that heart, the heart of gold that he has. And I need you all to help me stand in the gap for him, for this miracle to happen, and for God's favor to be upon him. We send our aloha and our thank yous to all of you. Have a blessed day.
Hey, this prayer is for Kathleen from Colorado for her two boys. Father God, I pray for her sons. God, you heard their names. You heard the request. We pray for the one who graduated from college and cannot seem to find a job. Lord, I pray that you will direct him to look in the right places. Father, make it shine, O Lord, on the map as he's looking for jobs. And I pray that you give him favor in the name of Jesus. Father, her son who's wayward, who hasn't found his way yet, keeps quitting jobs. I pray that you help him to find some stability. God, I thank you for Kathleen. I pray that you continue to bless her, keep her, and give her the knowing that these boys are yours first and foremost, that you don't have grandkids, and that they are yours first, and that you are going to watch over them. I pray a hedge of protection around her family. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. This is the burning bush that will not be devoured for the glory of our God and King. Love you guys. Bye.